James chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the beautiful songs that we have to sing and worship and praise unto you. And God, that would be our prayer, that it would be no longer I, dear Lord, but Christ that lives in me, your blessed Spirit, God, ought to be the prayer of each one of us, Father. And Lord, I thank you we could be here today. I thank you for this church. I thank you for your Spirit here with us, your Son making all this possible. Please fill me with your Spirit so that I can preach and minister the word to your church this morning. Please fill my dear wife with your Spirit as she relays the message and sign. I thank you to know that the word's gone forth already in the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour. Your Spirit has spoken to us, God, and might we apply these things that we learn. And Father, we have such a great life as believers to live here with you. And we have such a great inheritance yet to come. We have such a great purpose to fulfill while we're here. Truly, we are a blessed people. And Father, I pray that you would do your work in your church this morning, that our hearts would be drawn closer to you. You minister to us in each way that we need to be ministered unto. Be with those in the nursery, fill with thy Spirit. Bless those watching the children. Thank you for every ministry of this church. Thank you for the promise of your soon coming. And God, for your faithfulness to us, with us, and mercies toward us. And Father, we thank you and we praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're all going to face temptations in life. That word temptation can have several meanings. It can be similar to tribulation, which is just trials and troubles. We're all going to have those. Jesus had those, by the way. But it can also mean a temptation to do evil. Well, how do you know, preacher? Well, you discern that from the context, how it's used. Very clear in this context that temptation means the desire or the drawing towards evil. Because it tells us in defining in the passage, it says, "For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." So the context makes it clear which form of temptation the Bible is talking about here. It's talking about being tempted to do evil. See, really, in every trial that comes our way, the devil is hoping that you and I will do evil. He's hoping that we will fail in the midst of that trial. In every trial or tribulation that comes our way, God can make us more like Jesus Christ if we'll look to Him. And by the way, if He's allowed it, He's already given us the ability to make that happen. He hasn't made the temptation, allowed the temptation so big that we can't handle it. He's made a way out for us, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. We can come through it victorious. And we want to be people who become victorious. I thank God that He's a merciful God. Thank God we can fall 1,000 times and if we truly repent, He picks us back up on our feet. But I don't think God intends us to keep falling and falling and falling and falling, do you? I think He wants us to get victory. Yeah, football season starting now. And that Seattle game, they pulled that out by one there the other day, if any of you saw that. That was close. So now they're 4-1, I think. I got that right. You know what? With temptations, with troubles, as we grow, we want to have a winning record, don't we? We want to be, I failed again. How about some victories, amen? We want to see God work in our life. So yeah, we fall sometimes, but look, we're 4-1. In the last 10 trials I've had, praise God, you know, whatever, I'm 8-2 on the good side. Praise the Lord, amen? That's progress. And we want to see victories in our life with these troubles that come. So when a trouble comes your way, and God has to remind me of this, it's an opportunity. It's another game. At the end of this, there's going to be one in the loss column or one in the win column. And it's going to depend on how you and I handle it. One thing's for sure about trials and tribulation, you'll come out one of two ways. You'll come out either bitter or you'll come out better. One of two ways. And it's how we trust in the Lord to guide us through this. And we receive some wonderful instruction here in James chapter 1. Oh my goodness. We need to learn these things before they come, so we can bring them to mind when that temptation comes. I've entitled the message this morning, Meditations for Temptation. These are some things that will ready us. Help us understand how we can be victorious going through these things. See, because we do have a fallen nature, and we are going to be, unlike God, tempted to do evil sometimes. And we need to be ready for that when that temptation comes. And so we think of all, number one, if we would overcome when we are tempted with evil, we must, number one, recognize the course of sin. We must recognize the course of sin. Verse 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. If you're here this morning, You're born again. I'm glad I'm born again. I'm thankful I'm saved. And you say the same thing. If you're born again, you realize that's a wonderful thing. But can I remind you and myself that there is a part of you that has not experienced even one smidgen of regeneration. It's just as wicked as it ever was, and it's just as wicked, by the way, as it always will be. And that's your fallen nature. It hasn't experienced even a drop of that regeneration that's come upon you and I. Oh, why the Holy Spirit's living in us. That's where our joy is. That's where it is. And we have the victory, what? When we conquer the old nature. When we overcome it. See, he's not yielding. We're not making agreements and just having a better life because now my older nature is starting to agree with the Holy Spirit. That's not how it works. What does the Bible say? We die to self. Amen. That old nature has to be put to death. And by the way, Paul said, I die daily. And he's against us, that old nature, every day. Looking and longing for that luring to evil. And that sort of temptation. Every man is tempted. When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That word drawn away has the idea of being drawn out from a safe place. You know what that safe place is? It's the will of God. What are you being drawn away from? Where God wants you to be. God's will, under his wing. That term drawing away it's a metaphor to lure forth in hunting and fishing as game is lured from its hiding place. I like that. God, the Bible calls Jesus what? He's our hiding place, amen? We hide in him, you know. We sing, Blessed Rock of Ages, I'm hiding in thee. And the devil's trying to get us to come out of there, isn't he? Don't you remember some of that old sin? Maybe it's some sin you never actually experienced yourself yet. Oh, that'd be fun. And he's always trying to draw us out, lure us in this kind of tent, lure us to evil. Like he's hunting for us. He is, by the way. Drawn out. Trying to draw us out. It's interesting that it compares it to hunting as trying to lure game out from its safe place. The same language is used regarding the seduction of a harlot. In Proverbs 6:26, the Bible says, For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress, what? Will hunt for the precious life. See, when the devil's trying to lure you and I out to evil, he's out there on a hunting trip. You're safe in the arms of Jesus. You're safe in the will of God. He's trying to lure you out. I remember watching documentary on a nature show one time, some kind of fish, and I used to like to watch those a lot. I can't watch them as much anymore because they always got to magnify the evolution thing, you know. There's some good facts and things to learn about it, but they always got to they want to exalt their religion during that, you know. But there's this one fish that he lures his prey. On his tongue, he's got a little growth that comes out of his tongue. Sits on his tongue. He opens his mouth, and the little growth goes like this and wiggles around on his tongue. He's got, and that little, and the fish says, "That looks good." And it's that little growth, it's almost like I could picture you. Come get it, come get it. And the fish no sooner goes in that little cave there. Of course, he doesn't notice the teeth on top and bottom of the cave. The fish goes into that little cave there. What happens? He no sooner gets a hold of that and he's got him. That's the way temptation is. It looks so good until you grab it. Until you get a hold of it. Then the Bible says it's like having a mouth full of rocks and gravel. And you wish you'd never done it. The devil is so deceitful. Our own heart is so deceitful. That's why we need to be prayerful and prayed up. Learning about this thing. Recognizing the course of sin. It comes from self-deception. Allowing ourselves to be deceived. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart and my heart will fool me and you if we're not in the Word of God. Yielding to the Spirit of God, we'll be drawn away. That heart's desperately wicked. This is the condemnation that light has come into the world, John 3:19, and men love darkness rather than light. And you know what? For a moment when you got saved, you said, I don't love my darkness. I want to be saved. That was the luring of the Spirit. I recognize that darkness, and I want to be saved from it. And you trusted Christ as your Savior. You yielded to that drawing. And from that moment on, you received power to say no to that fault, that nature. But you know what? There's a part of that fault, that nature still loves dark things. Like I say, there's not one little bit of your fallen nature or mine that's regenerated. Not one little bit. And we have to recognize we face that thing every day. And be walking with God and getting victory, conquering over that thing. That's where the joy is. We don't make treaties with, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, the Apostle Paul wrote, amen. Put it down. Don't let it draw us away. Last days, men would become trady, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, aren't we there today? The most wicked thing about the heart of man is not that we do things that are not God's will. It's that we desire to do things that are not God's will. Our old nature can find pleasure in those things. The deception comes. You get that drawing to do something that's wrong. When does that deception come? It comes when we decide it'll be okay to fulfill that ungodly desire. That's when we're deceived. If we say, by the way, we all deal with this. If we say we have no sin, what? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The Bible's talking about the law of sin there. I'm free from it. I don't have to obey it. Praise God for salvation. But here's the sobering part. I still can. And so can you. I still can surrender to that if I choose. And so can you. And we do that when we allow ourselves to be deceived, get our focus off of God and the Word of God. And the focus off of what sin really is, how it works, how it brings destruction. Let no man deceive himself. Isn't it sad we do that admonition? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem that he won't be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise, 1 Corinthians 3:18. We can allow ourselves to be deceived by our own heart. Don't let that sin deceive you in thinking it's going to be worth it. It's not. It's not. Or somehow it'll be okay, nothing will happen. You know, remember when Judah had long disobeyed God? The northern kingdom was taken captive into Assyria. Judah had disobeyed God for so long that God said that through Jeremiah, that's it. They're going to Babylon. Matter of fact, Jeremiah began to preach. Here was their choices. You can resist and die here in the city. Or you can yield to the king of Babylon and go and live and I'll be with you in your captivity. It came down to that was their choice. But you know what they kept thinking? Zedekiah and them, somehow we can hold out. Somehow that won't happen. But what did God's word say? Jeremiah 37:9. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves. There it is. Saying, the Chaldeans shall not surely depart from us. Or shall surely depart from us. For they shall not depart, God says. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. God says, if all they have left is cripples, I'll use them to burn this city, because I told you I'm going to burn this city with fire. Don't fool yourselves. For a while, the Chaldeans fled away because the army of the Egyptians had come out. And, you know, they thought, these guys, they're not so bad after all. No. God says, they're coming back. And you're not going to overcome them. You got two choices. But they fooled themselves. How we can fool ourselves. Allow ourselves to be fooled. Jesus said the time would come, John 16:2, when to his disciples, when they shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. By the way, that was the Apostle Paul. He thought he was serving God seeing Christians put to death. He was that deceived. He thought he was doing right. He was zealous. He thought he was serving God in that manner. That's how blinded he was. Our old nature. We now must recognize that self-deception that can come over us. What else we need to recognize? That sinful disobedience that follows. Verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Being deceived, we then choose a path outside of God's will. See, to be tempted is not a sin. The thought comes to your mind or my mind, and we feel drawn to do something we know is wrong or we ought not to do. That's not a sin. That comes inside us all. Whether we'll sin or not determines what we do with that thought when it comes. And that drawing when it comes. We can say, I know right now that I have to watch out for self-deception. That looks good. I need to get back to the Word of God. And we reckon with it. Or we don't. And if we don't begin to reckon with it, then we're in trouble. If we allow it to stay. Someone said, I think it was J. Vernon McGee, he said, you can allow birds to fly over your head, but you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair, all right? You can't help them flying over your head, but you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. Some of us don't have much place left for that either. But sinful disobedience comes. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Think about it. God made us male and female. God made the animals male and female. Amen. It takes two to conceive. When lust hath conceived, lust can't get by itself. It has to conceive. When the drawing comes for you and I to do wrong, then the devil and that temptation tries to convince the mind to say it's okay to go ahead and do it. See, your lust has to conceive with your logic. Your desire has to conceive with your thinking. And then somehow, when your thinking yields to that and says, it's okay, I think that's right. Now conception has happened. And now what's it going to bring forth? It's going to bring forth that fruit. You see that? When we give in to it, you can do that one of two ways. You can believe the lie. It'll be worth it. No, it won't. You know better. And I know better. But we can choose to believe the lie. Now what's happened? Lust has conceived. The desire came. We said, okay. Or maybe we just don't think. Maybe some believers are in the place where unfortunately they're backslidden, and it's whatever feels good, do it. So if the flesh wants to do it, there's nothing to discuss. That's what they do. That's sad. That's a sad place to be, by the way. And God will get you out of that quick enough as He works on you and me. But listen, there's that decision to make. And when the will yields to the sinful want, that's when lust conceives. That's when lust conceives. And it brings forth that sin. See, I read that verse in 1 Timothy 6:10. Riches was an example. That's something people lust after at times. While some coveted after, they what? Erred from the faith. What did James write here? Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't err from the faith. When lust conceived, what? The many pierced them, they've erred from the faith, what? And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Oh, it won't be sorrowful for me. I won't have trouble if I just yield to this one sin. You're allowing yourself to be deceived. I would be allowing myself to be deceived. Sorrow will come. It will have a cost. Don't go there. Don't go there. Sinful disobedience will follow. And with that comes what? Certain destruction. Verse 15, and sin, when it is finished, the sinful want combines together with now the yielded and now sinful will, and it brings forth the sinful action. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin brings forth nothing good. See, if sin could run its full course in your life as a believer, we wouldn't have eternal security. We'd die and go to hell. But the moment you got saved, God took hell out of the picture. Forever. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus did. And He said, I'm going to work on you to the day you die. He didn't say, He's working to perfect us, all right? And we're going to have problems. But listen, just because we can't die and go to hell doesn't mean we can't suffer. And I want to tell you, God has a way of making any sin that you and I would think it'd be okay to commit, God has a way of making it not worth it. Matter of fact, that's one of the rules you use in learning how to discipline your children. The discipline has to be distasteful enough that it outweighs the pleasure of the disobedience. That's how it works. And by the way, don't think we have anything on God. He knows how to discipline you and I so that when once we take the bite of that thing, almost immediately we realize it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. Just ask David. You see, David and Joseph came into the same kind of trial. The difference is, one was ready for it, and one wasn't. Joseph was tempted by that woman, saying day after day, come be with me, come be with me, come be with me. But he stayed under the wing, and he wasn't deceived. He wasn't drawn out. But David saw Bathsheba, what, on that roof. And he thought, nobody's around. It'll be okay. You read the rest of David's life and you'll weep with him. Oh, the struggle that came into his life, the heartache, his children, his own life. David himself, my sin is ever before me. I wish I could go back and change that, no doubt was his heart's thought. But he couldn't. But you'll find this, that David, by his grace, even learned to accept God's chastisements when they came. I'm suffering dearly, God. But I deserve it. It's just. You said it was coming. Give me grace to get through it. But he wished he'd never done it. Amen. By the way, that's the way you and I will be if we decide to step out of God's will, yield to some temptation. The Holy Spirit's convicting us. There's going to be suffering. John 10:10. The thief, that's the devil and all his cohorts and our old nature trying to drive us outside of the will of God. The thief cometh not what, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And my brethren, none of those things sounds like any fun to me. And we'll feel that theft. Theft of our joy, the theft of our peace, whatever it might be. Might be the theft of our physical health. Steal and kill and destroy. That's what sin brings forth. Recognize the course of sin as part of our meditations for it'll prepare us for temptation. Number two, we need to rest in the character of God. A, God is pure. Let no man, when he is tempted, say, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. See, God doesn't, he can't be tempted with evil. He's not enticed by evil. That's why Jesus did no sin. There was never anything that he loved or wanted to do more than the will of God. Nothing the devil could put in front of him was as appealing to him as doing the will of God. Even when his flesh was weak and he was pondering the thought of physical pain and suffering and dying, that or the will of God, he said what? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because that's what he truly desired. He wouldn't yield his will to something else. He wouldn't be deceived, thinking that that would work out better. He knew better. He couldn't be drawn away and enticed. He knew what was best for himself, even when he became a man. What was best for himself, being found as a man, what? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because that's what's best for a man, is to humble himself and yield to God's will. And he knew that. And he did that. And he did that perfectly for you and I. See, God never tries people to see if they'll fall. God tries us so we can put another one in the win column. Amen. That's what he tries us for. So we can grow and be stronger. They tell you when you're working out, I've read that you're actually injuring yourself. Muscles tear and such and stretch. And by the way, it hurts if you work out. You know, you feel pain sometimes. And then when it heals, what? You're stronger. The muscle has grown. That's what temptations do if we yield to God. They hurt when we're in them. No temptation at the present time seems to be what? Joyous. Hebrews, right? Don't be a liar. Well, I'm in the midst of this hard trial, but it's wonderful. Yeah, no, it's not. You're suffering, you're struggling, but you have hope. Why? Because you're going to be stronger on the other side. It hurts. Don't understand why, perhaps, but somehow. See, God is, we can rest in his character because he's pure. He's doing it for my good and for his glory. He's allowed it for my good. Even if it's a chastisement I deserve, it's for my good and his glory. See? I may have done nothing wrong when the trial came. God wants me to make me a stronger Christian. I may have sinned and it's a chastisement for my sin. God's still using it, what? To make me a stronger Christian. Doesn't matter why God's with me through it if I'll look to him. See? Praise God, we can have that. God is pure. He's never tried any man to see if he'll fall. The Bible tells us the opposite.
He's already made a way to escape. We may be able to bear it if we'll choose it and look to him for it. He's already made the way. It's just the opposite. God is pure. We can trust the character of God.
God is faithful. He's the Father of lights, verse 17, James says, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I like that. God is faithful to be there with us every moment. Father of lights, he's talking about the heavenly bodies, the stars and the planets and all the moons that the planets have and the galaxies you see out there. God made all that. He's the Father of lights. He's the one that made them. And he is so faithful. By the way, you can get online and you can look up for this month a sunrise calendar. And that sunrise calendar will not give you just the hour of the sunrise every day of the month. It will not give you just the minute of the sunrise every day of the month. It will give you the hour, the minute, and the seconds of the sunrise of every day of the month. Right here in Corvallis or in Albany, wherever you look it up for. This morning, it was 7:17, 7 o'clock, 17 minutes after 7, and 29 seconds a.m. That's when sunrise was. Tomorrow, it will be 7:18 and 43 seconds a.m. You know why? Because God made this universe like clockwork. He's a faithful God. And we can count on him. My friend, he's the Father of light. He's faithful. See, the fact is, God will be there on your longest day, your hardest day. He'll be there all day long with you. God will be there with you in your darkest night. Whatever it might be in your life, every moment of that night, every minute, every second, God will be there with you and I. See, we don't have to fail. We don't have an excuse to fail in our trials. We don't have an excuse to have a far greater number on the win column than we do the loss column, folks. We have no excuse for that. And God doesn't want us to. So we can exude that joy and that victory and that holiness in our lives that the world needs to see. God is faithful. He's faithful. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3:6. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Rest in the character of God. Then we need to receive this counsel of God. Receive with meekness, verse 21, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. God guides from a pure heart, A. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, and the Father of lights, it says. It goes on to say in James 7:18, and says, of his own will begat he us. Consider God's heart. We already looked at what we desire in our old nature sometimes. Not a pretty picture, is it? Well, let's take a look into God's heart now. Let's drop the, what do they call that? They have the little cameras where they drop it down there. If we could do that in God's heart, let's take a peek in there. What do we see? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing what? That any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not a one. Not a one. And Hebrews says, he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God through him. Amen. That's what we see if we look in God's heart. That's what he's shown us through his word that is in his heart. So, we saw that we get our desires, we get tempted with sin, and then we sin when our logic says, it's okay, go ahead. Then sin comes. That's the meeting of our lusts and our fallen lusts and our fallen logic. What's the meaning of God's desires and God's wisdom or God's logic? Well, God's heart, God's thought, he realizes that he loves us, but if he's going to save us, we have to be purged of our sins, because in him is no sin at all. He can't have fellowship with us unless he does something. God's heart, God's desire, is not willing that any should perish. But wait a minute. If this is going to happen, something has to be done about their sins. And you know what? Guess who did it? He did. Now I know I am bringing this down to our level. We can't understand how God works. God never had to decide anything. Right? I can't understand that, but if he's always known everything, then he never had anything to decide. But God himself uses these terms so we can know how to relate with him and draw closer to him. So what did he decide? I'll send my son. I'll become a man. I'll die on the cross for them. Let me tell you something. That's some heart and some will. That's what my God did. That's what your God did. He guides with a pure heart. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You know, we've all heard the saying, when you can't trace his hand, what? Trust his heart. I know what God's doing. Trust who he is then. Would he do you harm? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely with him give us all things, the Bible says. Trust his heart. When you don't understand, God guides with a pure heart. God guides from a pure heart. God guides with a powerful hand. 17 and 18 and 21. Every perfect gift comes down from above. Every good and perfect gift. Of his own will begat he us. We are to receive with meekness the engrafted word. Here it is. Which is able to save your souls. What's James talking about there? I think God here is talking to us, and the Holy Spirit's writing to us through James things that are beyond our initial salvation. We're talking about temptation. We're talking about being delivered in the midst of our troubles. God is able to save you and me from failing in our temptation. He's a permanent Savior. I was saved when I trusted him. I'm being saved today, and I shall be saved when he returns. See, he longs for me to turn to him for deliverance in the midst of my trial, just as I turned to him for deliverance for my very salvation back there when I got born again. He longs to continually deliver me and you by the power of his Spirit, through faith in his word, the same way we got saved. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, what? So walk ye in him. You call upon him, you trusted his promise. That temptation hits you smack dab in your life, and you're being tempted with evil, then what do you do? You trust his promise and you call upon his name. Amen. And you believe his word. You believe that continuing your sin wouldn't profit you when you got born again. You need to realize that you to that temptation won't profit you now if you go that route. It's a replay of your salvation on a smaller scale. Only because hell is not in the balance now. Though it may destroy the rest of your life or my life if you make the wrong choice in this life. I'm not saying it's not a big decision. It is. Every trial, we want to glorify God. He's able to deliver us. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able, what? to deliver thee.
That's what saved means, to deliver us. And he wants us to have a win record. A lot more in the win column. That's why it says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why is that? What's usually our first reaction when temptation comes? We're upset. Notice he didn't say slow to wrath. Didn't say mad at God, just mad. Oh! Well, wait a minute. Isn't God in control? Didn't he allow this to come? Either I deserved it for my sin and it will help me with that problem, that chastisement will, or it's a trial that has come because of no sin of mine and it's going to make me more like Christ. Didn't he oversee that? By the way, when I point a finger out there, I've got the rest of the handfuls pointing back at me, all right? Because we experience that. Oh, this happened. We experience it, a wrath, an anger. Ah, the car broke down again, you know. Wait a minute. The game's on. The game has started. The scoreboard's up there. And God's wanting you to get another one on the win column through this. Okay, God. See all this stuff here? This earthly stuff, this material stuff. It's just junk. It's going to rust and mold and mildew and rot and decay. And one day, folks, it's all going away. Even the health of this body's going away one day. But I'm getting a new one. And I'm going to live on a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to be in that millennium. And seeing that king crowned. Amen. That's what we look forward to. Those eternal things. So when the game's on, it's time for you and I to remember the game's on. And God wants us to get a victory through that. And we have to stop. Okay, there's a way I need to meditate about this thing. Every temptation can be fit into these categories. He guides with his perfect hand. He's able to deliver us. Swift to hear, slow to speak. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, verse 20. So, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. James said, by the way, lay apart there. It's the same word the Apostle Paul used when he said, put off the old man. Remember? The old man, I got to make a treaty with him. No, he's got to die. He's got to be sentenced to death again today. That's how we get victory over the old man. Through Christ, we sentence him to death. We follow Christ. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, Ecclesiastes 7:9. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. God says, be calm. Remember that? Be still, know that I'm God. That trouble comes. Game's on. Game's on. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. I like that. Think about this. When a plant receives something engrafted, something is cut out and something is replaced beyond the ability of the plant itself. That's what happens. And when a trial comes our way, God is wanting to cut something out. He's wanting to give you and I another victory over the flesh. He's wanting to cut something out and put something in and strengthen us in the spirit through that trial. That engrafted word is able to give us victory in that temptation. By the way, we later what can share that victory with another who is struggling in the same thing. I know there's a place where from learning from others' failures and from our own failures. But folks, we don't have time enough to make, we don't live long enough to make all the mistakes, okay? We need to start learning from others who failed and not make that mistake, amen? And from our own and not make that mistake again, amen? And get that victory. Get that victory.
And I close with this thought that engraft the word God. He's with us through that temptation to come on the other side. The Lord has really impressed this more in my life recently, this last year, and just how the troubles of life. Okay, now hit the reset button. Stop and think. One of the challenges for Christians is, I hate that word, react. You know, the doctor, when you go to the doctor, he's giving you a general physical. He takes a little hammer there, and he taps your elbow, and he hits your leg, and your leg, you know, something like that. And you have that, you know, you're thinking about it. It's your reaction. It's your reflex. I don't like that with Christians. Because we're supposed to think about what we do and say, aren't we? We're supposed to always be wondering, in what I say and what I do, is it going to be glorifying to God? I mentioned this before. That prayer that we often pray. I pray it often. I know you do too. Two words. Lord, help. Lord, what? Would you have? We need to stop. Hit that pause button and say, okay, go. Here it is. It's here. It's right in my face, this trial and temptation. Here it is. Hit the pause button. Help me, Lord. Give me strength to resist that. Give me the victory you have. Help me to see the victory you have for me through this. And to trust you in it. And look for another one in the wind column for his glory. Amen. Because we don't have nothing to brag about. The engrafting, the plant doesn't brag about the engrafting. It's the word, that's God, that's the gardener that does that. We give the husbandman the glory. Amen. God's the one that performs that in our hearts. I close with this thought. James 1:12, the first verse in the context which we were looking at today. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Everybody is going to go through it. That's not what that word means. That word is not saying, though in some contexts you could say we all have to endure it, we all have to put up with it because it comes our way. That's a truth, but that's not what that word means. That word means to endure victoriously. In other words, you endure it and you don't say yes to it. You don't yield to it. You get one in the wind column. That's what that word endureth means. It means to stay faithful. To stay faithful. And I'm thankful that God has, that our faithful God is continually working to make us more faithful like He is. Amen. And we can be victorious. So next time that trouble comes, whatever it might be, a hard person, a hard circumstance, whatever it might be, let that little light bulb come on. Game's on. God's got a victory for you. You're going to come out. You remember that. Remember these things. Go to the Word of God. Go to prayer. Look for that victory. You're going to come out on the other side more like Jesus. Stronger in Christ and able to help a brother or sister who's going to follow sometime along in that same temptation that you faced. And you can brag about your God. You can tell him how God delivered you. God reminded you to stop and seek his face. And then he gave you victory. And that's how God wants to use every one of us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. God, this life is full of troubles, and trials, and temptations. And many of them we do bring on our own selves because of our sin. But God, we have seen your heart in the word, in your word today. You will allow those things to come, and you will always be there for us to call upon. And we can, as we sing the song, be led from victory unto victory as we stop and turn to you to take hold of your hand, to stabilize our feet so that we remain under your wings, Father, as we look to your Spirit, look to your Word, and we're not fooled and drawn out by that enticement. The word meaning entrapment. imprisonment that would come. Father, help us to remember the wisdom you've given us, to see that ahead of time, regardless of what our feelings are telling us. And help us and give us the grace to go ahead and do that thing the devil's telling us not to do. Or to go ahead or to refrain from doing that thing that our wicked flesh is trying to convince us to do. Father, help us in these things, and that we might more glorify your name. We might be filled with thy Spirit, know the fruits of your Spirit and fullness in our lives and for your glory, and that others may see that as well, that change that comes on us day by day as we yield to your mercies, your grace, and your power. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.